If you'd like to know more about the plants mentioned on this episode, visit our Instagram page at Plants People Places Podcast or our Facebook page and just search for Plants People and Places Podcast. Welcome to Plants, People and Places, the podcast in which we speak with plants people and find out what special connection they have with their plants. In this episode, we speak with Mercy Morris, who holds the National Collection of Spider Plants and works for Plant Network. Mercy, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It's a beautiful day. Our time of recording is in May and we've just had a few sunny days, so it's been lovely out in the garden. First of all, could you tell us a bit about yourself, please?
Oh, I don't really know where to start. I work as manager for Plant Network, which is a really interesting job. I'm the national collector, as you said, for spider plants, of which I've got rather too many at the moment. I also love pelargoniums and asparagus ferns. I've got a lovely cat called Tiberius, who anybody who's ever had a Zoom meeting with me will have met. And I like running and cycling and swimming. That's probably about it, I should think.
Brilliant. Can you just explain, please, what does Plant Network do exactly?
Plant Network offers networking and training opportunities to large garden organisations like English Heritage, the National Trust, Kew, as well as smaller gardens, up to two people in the garden, and individuals and students as well. So it's a really interesting organisation to be part of. You get to meet the best people.
Oh, well, I know you met all the English Heritage head gardeners as well, because they went on a tree seminar, wasn't it?
Oh, no, we did green waste management with an orange jumping machine. And you've never seen so many excited head gardeners in a small space. It was just fantastic. There was just steam everywhere and I'm surprised they didn't actually get into the chomping machine, to be honest, but it was good fun.
They may have done after hours, I suppose. Yeah. Right. So what originally got you into gardening or horticulture?
Well, I was one of those people who killed houseplants. This was when houseplants were very, very unfashionable, the peak of unfashionableness in the, dare I say it, late 80s. And my mother had green fingers and she was always giving me plants that I was killing. And I killed quite a few of Marks and Spencer's finest when I was at university. And then I bought the final one, a Swiss cheese plant, and it lived and I still have it. So that was the thing that actually convinced me that I could do plants.
Oh, good. Well, it's amazing you've still got it as well. And you've mentioned quite a few plants already that you collect, asparagus, pelargoniums, chlorophytum, of course, the spider plants. But what is your favourite plant if you had to choose?
Favourite type of plant or favourite individual plant?
Well, let's go for type first and then we'll ask you about the individual one.
I really struggle to answer that because I'd say in about a month it will probably be pelargoniums. In August, September, it will be chlorophytum. The asparagus are particularly gorgeous at the moment. So, it's probably the chlorophytum, the spider plants en masse, I guess.
Yeah, they are good, aren't they? And I remember seeing them outside Buckingham Palace in their bedding display as well. And they are surprisingly hardy, aren't they?
They are surprisingly hardy. None of mine have had any heat this year. Admittedly, we haven't had much in the way of frost. But 2 years, they've come through the winter without heat for two previous years. And they've been down to about minus 10, I think, unprotected. So they lose all their leaves, but they've got such tough roots and a protected ground tip. They seem not to mind it, I don't think.
And within the chlorophytum, have you got a favourite in there at all?
Oh, yes. Again, that's due to change. I either love Hawaiian, which is many different shades of green, from sort of lime green to dark green, and the little offsets that I'm not going to call babies because this is a professional podcast, have very broad white central stripe that they lose as they get older. Or Golden Glow, which has got a central gold stripe, goldy white stripe, which is underappreciated, not as easy to grow, but very lovely.
All right, yeah. No, I haven't. I must have seen it at yours, but I'll have to have a better look next time. I'm actually growing Hawaii myself, and I do love that one. It's very strong, and yeah, as you say, the offsets are beautiful with their white variegation as well. And yeah, they're just so tough, aren't they? And it's a very fast grower, that one. It did fill the pot really quickly, and actually
And
needs
it's almost
repotting.
got a succulent feel to the leaves.
Yeah.
They're very robust and shiny, the leaves.
Yeah, I think with the chlorovitum, I do love them, and it is always amazing to see how many there are, because like some of my national collection people think there is just one. And I think have you got about 18 different ones, or is it more even?
Somewhere between, it depends how you want to divide them up into plants that are named taxa or plants that are likely to be individual taxa. I think I've got about 20 named taxa, but I think there's probably between 12 and 16 distinct ones.
Yeah,
But
that's good.
I mean, I see slightly different plants all the time. I spotted two, what I think of as dark Hawaiis last year in the local garden centre. But because they change so much according to the quality of the light, I have to grow them on for quite a while to make sure that they are a slightly different shade. They've not just been sitting in a darker or lighter place than the others for some time.
Oh, no,
I
nice.
could go on.
Sorry.
I could go on.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go on slightly longer, because my favorite chlorophytum, you might know, is Crucianum, which is such a beautiful plant. It doesn't create the offsets, I think, but it has got these fat, huge leaves, very upright, that one as well. Yeah, amazing plant. And I think that was probably the one where I thought, yeah, I understand why people would actually like spider plants. They're beautiful. And yeah, something like that is so different as well. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's a lovely
if you
one.
get Crucianum cross scimosum, that does actually have the offset, and it turns into a massive sort of mutant plain green spider plant. It is a gorgeous plant, but you have to be quite careful where you keep it because the weight of the leaves can tend to break them down a bit, so you have to look after it quite well.
Yeah, I remember last year for our Hampton Court display, that was one I really wanted to show, and I was so scared that it would snap. Luckily, it went all right. So yeah, it was difficult, but we got there. This podcast has been sponsored by Newbury Farm Plants in Silsoe, Central Bedfordshire. Newbury Farm Plants for all your garden plants, from bedding to trees and exotics. Newbury Farm Plants in Silsoe, Central Bedfordshire. So with the chlorophytum, with the spider plants, Mercy, quite often you hear things, like people say, oh yeah, they're air purifying, but I believe that's a myth, isn't it? Can you explain a bit more about that, please?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere between a myth and a massive exaggeration. So there was some research done in the 80s and 90s by this chap who worked for NASA about the air purifying benefits of certain houseplants. But by and large, they only work to take certain substances out of the air, and you need so many plants within a room that it wouldn't actually be practical for the average homeowner. So you would need even more than I actually have in my home. You probably wouldn't be able to move around very effectively with the amount of plants. So buying a single house plant, like a spider plant or a sansevieria, is really not going to do anything for the air quality in your home. You're far better off opening a window, which would purify your air far better.
Yeah, but I suppose looking after a plant can purify your soul, though, can't it?
Yes, I find that for every 10 spider plants you add to your life, your soul becomes much, much purer. It's a fact. And I know another favorite myth about spider plants is that the brown tips, which I never get on my spider plants, is down to low humidity. And I was thought, oh, I'm clearly such a wonderful grower because I never get them. But I'm not. It is apparently down to whether you have fluoride added to your water or not.
All
So
right.
if you have fluoridated water, and where I grew up in Surrey, they used to have fluoridated water. I don't know whether they do now, but that will cause the browning of the tips.
All
So
right.
if you have that, if you've got the energy to collect rainwater, you could do that, or you could just snip the tips off.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the same with Aspidistra because they quite often get brown tips as well. Although I always do think it's humidity, but wonder if that's another reason of that.
It could be, couldn't it? I don't know. We'd have to do some experimenting.
Yeah.
There are ways in which, and I've just reversed back in the conversation. There are ways in which chlorophytum can help clear chemicals, and that they are testing them for removing heavy metals from the soil. But this is in very specific situations, and it's for really nasty, toxic things like chromium. So it's not something that you would ever find in a domestic garden, hopefully.
No,
And
or in
it's
the
not
air.
something, yes, exactly. It's not something that would be of use to the average person in the UK. So grow your plants because you love them, not because you believe what you read on Instagram.
If we look at well, plants, you mentioned the monster already, but what plant have you had that has always got a special memory for you, or you may have bought in a special place, or you got it from someone? Is there a plant like that that comes to mind?
Well, I can think of two off the top of my head. One you may have to pronounce for me because I think it's named after a German guy. You know that the cactus Leuchtenbergia?
Okay.
It's a cactus. It's not rounded. It's the one that has almost like an aloe or an agave with the areoles on the
Okay.
ends of the spikes, and it has big yellow flowers. The reason I like that is because it's one of my mum's plants that I inherited. So it's quite nice to hang on to that. To be honest, 90% of my plants have got sentimental associations, but somebody very recently bought me a Monstera Ty constellation for my upcoming birthday.
I
So
wonder who
that,
that was.
I don't know. So that one's my current favourite because I keep looking at it every 10 minutes to see whether it's grown or not.
I actually bought one for myself at the same time as well, and mine has grown a bit. It's the leaf has mainly got a bit bigger, but I
Yeah,
can't
I
wait
have
for
been
that to
testing the
develop.
obvious. Yeah.
No, lovely plant that. And at first, I always thought I've got the variegated Monstera myself, and that's enough. But then I saw, well, actually, when we went to the Netherlands, we saw them in a nursery there, and it is just such an amazing plant. And I'm also hoping with that one, really, that it might not scorch as much because it is, of course, a lot of whitish or yellowish dots. And yeah, with my white variegated one, I do tend to quite often get brown leaves, and well, the white just
Yeah.
turns brown. So,
Yeah,
yeah,
they're very
hopefully that
bit
will
difficult to
have a
keep
taste.
clean, aren't they? Which I think the Thai constellation being more of a yellow and more speckly, I think it should be easier to keep. And they do make such good looking mature plants, don't they?
We've got a way to go though, because I think ours were in 5 centimeter pots or something, so tiny plugs. But no, I should get
Next
that.
year.
Be very nice. Have you also got a plant ick? So, is there anything that you really do not like, won't grow, and ideally would actually just throw on the compost heap as soon as you get it?
Well, I came up with three off the top of my head. Two of them, I think, particularly seasonal around here. Forsythia, I know some people who love them, but they don't really do it for me. Fritinia red robin is
Oh.
overplanted around here. It's like every single person went to the garden centre 5 years ago and bought one, as is Viburnum tinus. But my absolute hate is Symphyricarpus albus, the
Oh, yeah.
little, is it a snowball tree? Snowberry,
Berries,
snowberry.
isn't
I hate it. It's invasive. You can't get rid of it. It's ugly. Oh, I can't think of a single thing to recommend it. So that's the thing that I would burn if I ever lived somewhere with it. I'd get a
They're
bulldozer.
very good for bees, though,
I don't
Symphoricarpus.
care. I don't care. I'll grow something else for the bees. The bees can have something attractive.
Yeah, like a Kalamintha or something. Yeah, I was driving around the other day and I saw the biggest ever Photinia red robin I've ever seen. It must have been about 8 meters tall, like a massive tree. I didn't even know they could get that big, and it was still
Is it in
ugly.
Whitstable? Was
Sorry?
it in Whitstable?
No, oh gosh, where was it? I think it was somewhere between here and Walmer, possibly, so East Kent.
Oh,
Yeah.
no.
I actually can't remember. This was only a couple of
Yeah. No,
years
I'm
ago.
surprised. I'm surprised that it wasn't within 5 minutes of here. But
Yeah, oh, that's it. Another thing that we have every episode is a plant of the episode, which I
oh.
always pick, and I wonder if you know it as well. So we've mentioned loads of plants already, and of course, if people want to find out more about those plants, you can go on our Instagram page at Plant People Places podcast, or follow us on Facebook under the same name. So this week the plant of the episode is Ficus carica pumila, which is a fig, of course. So it's a cross between a normal edible fig, the Ficus carica, and Ficus pumila, which is usually grown as a house plant, I think, isn't it? So,
Yeah.
and I managed to get one not too long ago at Beach's Nursery in Essex. A really nice plant. And the nice thing about it is that it is basically like a Ficus pumila on steroids. So all the leaves are much bigger, but it still has that sort of roundish, heart-shaped leaf as well. But apparently, when you plant it near a door, sorry, near a wall, even not a door, near a wall, then it will also just cling on to the wall and grow almost like a. Yeah, like a climber, basically. Do you know that one, Mercy?
No, I'm never going to be able to know it, am I? Because
No.
you bought the only one in the nursery and I really wanted one and there wasn't one. So I don't care that it turns into a shingling beauty as it climbs up a wall.
No, yeah, I must explain that Mercy and I went to Beach's Nursery together, and I spotted it and I picked it up, and then it turned out to be the last one they had. But luckily, I have been told that they grow really well from cuttings, so hopefully you'll have one very,
You...
very soon. I was going to take cuttings this weekend, actually.
Okay.
But yeah, I generally love figs as well, and this was something. I'd only recently found out that there was a cross like that, and yeah, just by chance, a couple of weeks later, we went to Beach's Nursery, and yeah, they had a specimen there. So really looking forward to that growing
You
along.
wouldn't really look at it and think you've got Ficus pumila in your ancestry, though, if you, as it looks so shrubby when you see it in
Yes.
the garden centre. You wouldn't. It's not a, because the indoor houseplant Ficus pumila is a very a soft-leaved creeper, really, quite small leaves, about the size of a 5p piece. So
Yeah.
you'd look at it and you think, oh, you're a fig, but I don't know what you are. So yes, it
No,
will be an interesting
exactly.
plant.
No, it is really, and it is very upright as well. So it is not, as you say, not as creepy, clingy like the Ficus pumila. And yeah, I suppose the leaves are sort of the size of a folded up 5-pound note instead of a 5p coin. So
Yeah.
much bigger. Yeah, really nice. I wonder if it gets fruit at all. Edible fruit, because people always ask about that with figs, so we'll see.
I think a lot of them fall into that edible, but you wouldn't category, I'm
Yeah.
guessing.
Yeah, like viola flowers, something like that.
Oh,
No
yes.
flavor, but looks pretty. You do grow a lot of house plants anyway, don't you? I think
Oh,
Mary Berry even came over 1 year to see your house plant collection. Have
she
you how
did.
many have you got?
Oh, do you know, I haven't counted them recently. It's probably about 200, 250, I should think. And I don't live in a mansion, so it's a small single floor one and a bit bedroomed home. So yeah, there's not much space for me and the cat.
No, well, but very, very green, which is lovely as well. Well, thank you very much, Mercy, for joining us this week. And if anyone would like to know more again about this episode, then do go to our Instagram page. And
We
also,
will
of
see
course,
lots of spider plants.
yes, yeah,
Is
probably.
there
Yeah, we'll
going
have to
to
take
be no
pictures of
spaces
all
of
of them
spider
now.
plants? Yes.
Yeah, and also don't forget to hit subscribe at the end of the episode, and then you will be notified when the next one is released. Thanks again, Mercy, and I hope to see you soon.
It's been a pleasure.